Good morning. Welcome to Line One, Your Health Connection. I'm your host, Dr. Justin Clark. E-cigarettes use among teenagers has skyrocketed in recent years, including in Alaska. The Food and Drug Administration's 2022 National Youth Tobacco Survey found that 1 in 10 middle and high school students reported using e-cigarettes, overwhelmingly with sweet flavors like fruits and candy. We know that nicotine is addictive, and advocates say quitting is a lot more difficult than avoiding it in the first place. Preventing early tobacco use is easier said than done, but my guests today are three people who work every day to make sure their friends, peers, and anyone who will listen is well informed about the risks of nicotine and tobacco. I am pleased to be joined by Charlie S., Lena Adays, and Roey Armstrong. Charlie is a wellness coordinator with Rural Cap, and for the last 6 years, he's been working in tobacco prevention and control. Roey and Lena are both teen ambassadors with Rural Cap's Youth Encouraging Alaskans Health, a statewide coalition that works to educate communities on the impacts of tobacco. Thank you guys for being here today. You can also be a part of our conversation. If you have a question or a comment, please give us a call toll-free statewide at 1-888-353-5752, 1-888-353-5752. In Anchorage, 907-550-8433. That's 907-550-8433. Or you can email me, line1@alaskapublic.org. That's spelled out L-I-N-E-O-N-E at alaskapublic.org. Charlie, Mr. S.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you here today. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us at the show today. I want to give you the opportunity to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, how you came to Alaska, what got you involved with Rural Cap, and, you know, give us your background.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. I'm Charlie S. I'm from Minnesota originally. I came up here in 1978. I wanted colder winters and longer autumns and wind and snow. And I still love that. I love being here. Came up, was going to be a logger in southeast Alaska, but then saw the fishing boats in Homer, jumped on a boat, started taking trips, and ended up fishing crab and salmon. And met my wife. We went out and fished in the Aleutian for almost 18 years. And then I started working with youth with Job Corps, the Alaska Job Corps Center out in Palmer. My youth work led me to Rural Cap. I was doing some youth work with them, and there was a job opening. It looked really exciting, so I joined on with them, did an AmeriCorps coordinating position for about 10, 12 years. And now I'm the wellness coordinator over there, and I've been doing tobacco prevention, mainly doing youth engagement with these lovely friends of mine here today.
That's great. What exactly, I guess, either got you into it or drew you into working with youth?
Well, I started years ago. I had done some stuff from a church group, did some vacation Bible school type stuff. And so I really enjoyed that energy. And I'm kind of young at heart, I think. And so when things came along for opportunities to be with them, I just kind of gravitated toward that. I like the energy. I like their fresh take on things. I always learn something new from youth every day. And so it's a really cool process. And so I was just sort of drawn to that. And it seems like there's no shortage of work to find places to plug in with youth engagement.
Good. And have you found it easy or challenging to find youth to work through the programs? Or is it something that's, has it been easy or hard?
Yeah. So with tobacco work, I mean, there's a lot of things that are cool and there are things that are uncool. And to find dedicated 16-year-olds who have passion for this is really, there's a weeding process. You go through a lot of people that think they want to do it. But when you actually come down to what you need to do, how you need to do it, and the hours and the thoughts you have to put into it, there's a lot of attrition. And so I'm really lucky to have Roey and Lena with me. They've been with me 3 years, and that's phenomenal. And we're so dedicated that we're actually talking about what to do after they're done being ambassadors, which after their senior year, they're kind of out of the program. But we think that we want to sustain the work because they're so passionate about it.
That's excellent. Well, let's talk with Lena first. It's nice to have you here today. Thank you for being with us at the show. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and like how you got involved with doing this work.
Hello, my name is Lena Adace. I'm 16 years old, and next year I'm going to be a senior in high school. I go to the ANSEP Acceleration Academy and Diamond High School. So, in my free time, I like to go outside and just, I like to swim, and I like to hang out with my friends and family.
Excellent.
I got into this program through a summit in 2020. It was a virtual, summit. What it was called, and it was on Zoom, and I didn't really know much about it at all. My mom just signed me up for it and told me to join the Zoom meeting, and then I won a bunch of cool prizes and met a lot of people and learned more tobacco facts, which I already had a little bit of passion about before I joined the Zoom meeting. And then at the end, they had a little survey that was like, if you're interested in becoming a teen ambassadors, sign up. And I was like, okay, why not? So then a couple months later, I got an email about joining a meeting, and I was like, okay, I'll just hop on. And then from there, I kind of just stuck with me. I met Charlie. He was super energized and super nice. And then Rory was also there, and I met cool people. And we've also been able to travel to Texas, and this year we're going to North Carolina in a few weeks. So yeah.
Oh, that's a great experience. Absolutely. So Rowie, tell us a little bit about your story and your journey getting here.
Yeah, my name's Rowie. I'm 17. I'm going to be a senior at East Anchorage High School. I joined the same meeting that Lena was at. Oh, maybe more about myself. I like to act. I like to hang out with my cat, Sherman. I attended the same Zoom meeting that Lena attended, and I liked how informative the meeting was while also being fun. And then I always knew about tobacco, and I always wanted to do something about it, but I never knew how to get connected or how to make it, quote unquote, make a change. So then I signed up with the link at the end of the virtual summit, and then me and Lena started the summit. We did it online for a couple years. Last year we finally met in person, and since we both live in Anchorage, we started doing more stuff in person, and then got to host our own summit. We hosted one online. We've hosted them online before, but this year we hosted our first one in person, together in as teen ambassadors, and that was really fun, but also really hard. So last year we went to Texas for one of their youth summits, and then from that we kind of learned about how they did their summit, and then we took that, kind of built on it, changed some stuff, put on our summit for youth all across Alaska, which was pretty fun. And then North Carolina asked us. University of North Carolina are putting on their first summit this upcoming year, this year, I guess. And so they wanted our help because they know that we've been doing it. So we got funding, I guess. And so me, Lena, and Charlie and our chaperones are going to hop down to North Carolina.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. Congratulations on getting those accolades. Doing this or working through this program kind of framed what you think you'll do in the future? Or has it guided you guys in maybe what you're going to do after you graduate? Rowie, I'll start with you.
After high school or college?
Let's start with high school.
So high school, I want to go to college and I want to do business, but I definitely want to stay involved with the tobacco community. And helping advocate for it, because even before I joined, I was always a strong advocate of things that I believed or just random stuff. But I think right now this program is a really good way to kind of inform people and help people stay educated. And what I want to do after, I want to keep educating people after high school, and I want to keep informing people and keep being an advocate for change that I want. And so I think this program has really helped me work on my public speaking, work on like making videos, work on like staying informed, like help me know the actual information. So like the fake information, help me.
Exactly. Yeah. The tools that you use for engagement through this process can be extrapolated, used in many other different
types. Definitely.
Yeah. Lena, what about you? What are your plans?
So after high school, I want to go to college and I want to study like pre-med, and I want to go to med school and study oncology. So, I mean, maybe specifically like lung cancer like would be cool to do. I think this program has really like shaped me, and yeah, like Roey said, helped us learn how to like public speak better, and it also made me realize how much I enjoy like working with people and talking to people. So yeah,
that's great. I want to give our listeners our call numbers again, and then we're going to talk a little bit about vaping and smoking, chewing tobacco, all of those things. But remember, you are listening to Line 1. It's 888-353-5752. 888-353-5752. Or call us from Anchorage, 907-550-8433. 907-550-8433. Or email us, line1@alaskapublic.org. So, Charlie, obviously, there's a lot of different forms of nicotine usage. Smoking tobacco is what most of us older folks have grew up with. My grandfather, he smoked a pipe, and I remember being young, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, and just having the room so thick you could barely see across it. He was from England, not that it matters, but I think they smoked a lot more pipes over there. Smoking cigarettes, there's now vaping and e-cigarettes and chewing tobacco. But what exactly, for our listeners, when we say vaping, what are most people referring to?
Well, I think there's a misconception that it's vapor, that it has water vapor in it, but it's actually an aerosol. So if I wanted to tell the listeners one thing, it's to imagine holding up a can of hairspray and inhaling that. There's a lot of metals. There's a lot of different things in there, basically antifreeze from cars. There's benzene, like in gasoline. There's a lot of chemicals in the vapes. And so it's the new rage, and it's nicotine delivery at its finest at this age. And 50 years from now, it'll be something else. People are addicted to nicotine or they're not. And if they have exposure to it, there's a good chance they'll become addicted, and a vape is a great vehicle right now for these times. And so that's kind of the thing right now.
And when we hear the words like e-cigarettes, that would be the same as vaping?
Yeah, e-cigarettes is to vaping as Xerox is to copier, for those folks who've been around a little while. So it's kind of gotten, the language has gotten generalized. But when I meet and talk with people, I try to emphasize that they should think of them as aerosols, like WD-40 or hairspray or something like that. So it's actually not water vapor that's going into the lungs.
Sure. Okay. And in terms of, when I'm doing my research on this show and thinking, because I personally have never vaped, I've seen people use it, especially, you know, in their cars, and you get this huge, like, it's not smoke, but these vapor trails out of their car and you can smell it. I think one misconception, perhaps, is that vaping is less harmful than smoking cigarettes. Is there any truth to that, or is there any caveats there?
I think in my own experience and with the research I've done, there's nicotine in all of it, or nearly all of it. There may be some out there, but I don't know of any that doesn't have nicotine. But the dangerous part about that is that many of these different products are ratcheted up, so you're getting like 10, 20, 15, 20, up to 59 milligrams. And so that's basically like jacked up like two packs of cigarettes to one. You know, it's just really a really acute dosage of nicotine. So a lot of times people might start thinking they're going to quit smoking on something, but they'll soon gravitate to a thicker syrup with nicotine content. And so, in fact, they may supersede what they even did with cigarettes.
Interesting. So the conception that vaping is less addictive isn't necessarily a true statement.
No, I don't buy it. We get a lot of dual users. Those are folks who are kind of dabbling, you know, they maybe try to reduce their cigarette intake, and so they go to vaping, and pretty soon they realize they're doing both. So there's a percentage, and I can't remember what the most recent stats are on that, but there's a lot of dual usage for people who try that as a method of quitting.
Mm-hmm. And so they you're actually getting more nicotine with the dosages through the e-cigarettes than you are through the regular cigarettes.
Yeah, you can easily double that, or you may be even quadruple it. I'm not sure of the syrups out there right now. But
okay. So, I mean, this might be a silly question, and so when you're talking to people, what are the risks of using e-cigarettes, vaping, I guess tobacco in general? Like, what are you counseling people? And we can ask all of you guys this when you're talking to youth, but what are you telling them to start off with, like, that it's – is it bad for their health?
Yeah, for one thing, nicotine is addictive. I mean, and if you've been around the cigarette world, which like you and I are familiar with that at our age, there's acetylcholine, there's other things that are actually acetaldehyde. There's a lot of additives to make cigarettes work, so to speak, but those are deadly chemicals. And so with vaping, I tell people there's also acetaldehyde in those too, and a lot of other chemicals. And so I think people don't think of that. They just think of the hit. You know, they want that nicotine, but there's a lot of byproducts to that. So I tell them to be aware of that. All we can do is inform people. You know, I mean, I was 13 once, and I'm kind of 13 still. I mean, in a lot of ways, I like to have be a free thinker, and I like to be, I'm not a rebel necessarily, but folks that want to kind of try this stuff, they're feeling their independence, they're feeling they want some kind of identity, and they don't think about the health consequences that they might, you know, pay down the line there.
Yeah, it's because it's one of those things that's not that you necessarily see the effects on your health right away. But if you use it for long periods of time, then they cumulatively get up. And one statistic is about a third of all deaths from heart disease are related to tobacco products.
They are. And so, you know, we have the data now because cigarettes have been around for half a century. But with this, it's so new and it's so invasive as far as the population that it's going to be a number of years before we have any data. With what we're seeing with the chemistry and how these things work, I think we can extrapolate from cigarettes and say, geez, these things are probably going to have some pretty nasty data in about 50 years from now.
Yeah. So, Roey, when you are engaging with your peers, let's say at your high school, like what is your approach? How do you just do you walk up to people and talk to them? Do people reach out to you about questions, or how does it work for you?
Yeah, usually it comes up in conversation a lot at just like randomly, like during class, like when you're talking, it's like random people in the hallway. People will be like, yeah, I vape, or my friends vape or something, and you can usually get a feel of like how they feel about it. And then I'll be like, yeah, I'm actually part of like an anti like tobacco nicotine addiction like group. And people usually be like, what do you mean by that? And like ask questions. Usually I can have a conversation with them. It's usually just a conversation, because people are a lot more receptive when they don't feel like they're being targeted or they don't feel like they're being judged. We actually did a talk at my school. So I'm part of a community within East called School Within a School. And we have like this giving week where we choose a topic. And anyways, I got our school to choose like addiction, specifically like nicotine, tobacco addiction for the week. And so me, Lena, and Charlie gave a talk to the community within SWS, and we gave them like kind of a presentation, basic facts, like they asked questions, we answered them. I think it was generally well received, and I got a lot of like things after the students coming up to me after the talk and like in the hallway being like, hey, that was like really cool, or like, I didn't realize some of those statistics, because you have to present it in a way where they understand. Because if you just throw a bunch of numbers at high schoolers or kids, they don't care. Like a 1 in 3 chance of something happening. Well, I'm going to be that 2/3 that it doesn't happen to. they're always gonna put themselves in the one that doesn't get affected, and it's fine because everyone does that. I do that. I'm sure Lena does that. But that wasn't a dig at you. Sorry. Okay. But we try and if it comes up naturally, I try and just have a conversation about it, because people receive information better when we're just like talking and they're not just like getting a bunch of information like pelted at them that they're not gonna like take into their brain or they don't necessarily care about.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Lena, what about you? Like, how do you approach people? You know, have you ever come up with someone or to someone who is using a vaping and say, hey, you know, this is maybe, can I talk to you about this? Or is it something that you prefer them to approach you about?
I have had people approach me, and I've also approached people, but for the most part, if somebody comes up to me and like talks to me, I'll just have like a pretty mellow conversation about it. Not judging or like targeting them in any way, I think is really important, because I feel like a lot of the time, like the kids are scared to tell their parents about it. And like, cause after they're already addicted, they can't stop. Mm-hmm. What are they going to tell their parents, you know? So I think it's important to have like people your own age, like
a safe space.
Yeah. Like, I guess a safe space, somebody to talk to. Yeah. Who won't judge you, or even like a trusted, like just adult or anything. But I have approached people. I also try not to like make people feel targeted or try to judge people. Just tell them what I know and like whether they know the effects of like the long-term effects of what they're doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, just everybody has a different story, so you never know what somebody's going through, and it's important not to judge or try and target somebody.
Also, like when we're having those conversations, if you say you don't vape, or if you like say you don't smoke, like sometimes people be like, oh my god, you don't smoke, but like people who like vape or use nicotine, and they're like pretty almost, I'm gonna say like more than half the time, they're not gonna be like, oh my god, you don't smoke. They're gonna be like, yeah, like you don't smoke. Like they understand that it's a bad thing, but they can't stop it. And they don't know how, and they don't like have the resources. But like I've never had like a horrible interaction where I've been like, oh yeah, no, I don't vape. And they've been like, you don't vape? They've always just been like, wow, you don't like, good for you, like don't start. Like the people vaping are the ones telling other people not to vape.
Yeah, that's happened to me too.
Sure. Well, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about this subject. You're listening to Line One, your health connection. And we're talking about preventing tobacco among teenagers. If you have a question or a comment for our guest today, call us statewide, 888-353-5752, 888-353-5752, or in Anchorage, 907-550-8433, 907-550-8433, or email us at line1@alaskapublic.org. Also, a quick plug for the Quit Line. If you are thinking of quitting smoking, one resource is alaskaquitline.com, or you can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. That's 1-800-784-8669, or text the word READY to 34191, where you can get free quit coaching and free nicotine replacement therapy like patches, lozenges, and gum. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to Line One from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line One on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alaska needs more quality, licensed childcare providers. If you're interested in starting a childcare business, connect with threadalaska.org for support and guidance. There are several resources to get licensed and launched in Alaska. A licensed facility opens doors and opportunities for the business owner and creates a safer, more engaged place for children. you can make a lasting difference in the lives of children and their families. This message sponsored by THREAD.
Welcome back to Line One, your health connection. I'm your host, Dr. Justin Clark. Today I'm speaking with Lena Adays, Roe Armstrong, and Charlie S. Lena and Roe are high school students involved with Rural CAPS Youth Encouraging Alaskans Health Coalition. And Charlie is a wellness coordinator with Rural CAPS, specializing in tobacco use and prevention. If you have a question or a comment, call us toll-free statewide at 1-888-353-5752, 1-888-353-5752. In Anchorage, 907-550-8433, 907-550-8433, or email us at line1@alaskapublic.org. We have a call from Kristen in Anchor Point. Welcome to Line 1, Kristen.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I had two questions, but your producer didn't think that the first one was really under your auspices. But I will say one thing. This is a growing problem, and I don't understand why the state of Alaska is not handling this the way they had handled underage drinkers. Which is running sting operations on the various places that sell vaping material and find out who it is that's giving these young people, selling it to them illegally to these people who are under age. They're supposed to be 21. So that's my first comment. My second comment is that you always emphasize the addictive nature of nicotine. What I don't understand is why you don't emphasize an even more important part of it. It is a poison. It is a toxic substance and can be a very toxic substance when you start taking it in. It is a known poison. I know people who have organic gardens who extract nicotine from various tobacco products and use it as a natural pesticide. So it would be good to really emphasize that it's not just make you addictive. It can, over the long run, because it is toxic, kill you in another way by just poisoning your body.
Yes, thank you, Kristen. No, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much for the call. I think we have a few topics we can discuss with that. Questions. Obviously, you know, the health risks impacting your heart, your lungs, really it impacts every organ system in your body. I see it in my patients, in diabetics, and like we talked about, a third of all deaths from heart disease are the result of smoking or secondhand smoke. So absolutely, the health risks are crucial. And I think that's one way that you guys approach talking with people is about the health risks. But especially for youth, that may not be always something they really care about thinking long term, you know? And so talking more about the addictive nature of it or the costs involved with it may be a better approach. And you guys can tell me if that's true or not. We'll talk about that. And also, I do want to address your question about age and underages. So that's fantastic information. So let's, I know, Roe, you had a comment. So let's start with you.
Yeah, well, actually, the state of Alaska is doing stuff to prevent that. They employ teens from like the age of 12 to 19 or whatever, and they have them go in, try and buy cigarettes or nicotine or vapes and come back. So they are running those operations. It's just what's happening is people of age or like parents or whatever are buying everything in like bulk or whatever and then selling them to underage people on like Snapchat or Instagram or like various websites, they're called plugs. And so like you'll see like a plug on Snapchat being like, I'm selling the like a vape or like a cart or something, and then it'll be like 3 times the price or like 5 times, like extremely inflated prices. So it's not necessarily the businesses that are like selling to underage, because nobody's sold to me, and like I haven't seen a lot of people, I haven't seen a lot of people when I've been doing it, but it is like, it's mainly the people that are taking the stuff because they know they can profit off of it, mm-hmm. And then selling it to the underage people.
Yeah, Lena, did you have
so like to people add? Of age will go buy the product and then resell to younger kids, and the kids will pay more, like skyrocketed price for the product because they need it and like they want it.
They don't care how much they pay, and they also don't know how much it like usually costs because they're not paying attention to that. They're just being like, okay, this is the plug I can get it from cheapest on Snapchat, but this is the one that has the best. And they do all this stuff on Snapchat. They don't look at the actual grocery store because that's not in their equation. They're like, those people won't sell to me. Who can I get it for on Snapchat?
Yeah, so social media has been a game changer for this.
Huge.
Isn't it? Yeah. Charlie, what's the current laws on the age for this type of for e-cigarettes, vaping, tobacco?
So we're coming from the T21 program is probably what you're referring to, and that's that would limit it to 21 years old. But the problem with this is, like they just said, as soon as something's illegal, it doesn't stop like trafficking handguns, people, you name it. I mean, the world really doesn't function by law. I mean, we try. It's one of the fronts we approach this with is policy, law, enforcement, education. We're in the upstream business of trying to prevent it before it ever happens. And that's why we work from the addiction angle. But yeah, so that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, so you know, I read that in 2021, which is the latest year they had statistics, over 2 million middle school and high school students used e-cigarettes or used tobacco products, sorry, and 8 out of 10 of those were the flavored e-cigarettes. Mm-hmm. So obviously, and I know the advertising for these are extremely limited now because of laws, but somehow it's still happening. Like, they don't have to advertise because it's, I mean, how are people, like, what is your opinion when you're talking to youth? Like, how do people get started and why do they start it? So, Rowie, I'll start with you.
Peers, usually. It's usually peers. And then when you were talking, when that study, was it just tobacco products or was it nicotine products as well?
I think those all just nicotine products, but 8 out of 10 of those were e-cigarettes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's usually peers. And in middle school, a lot of this is happening and so much is going on in middle school. Middle school is so hectic. And then people are like pressuring you to do stuff because they want to feel more grown up and they want to do different stuff. And then like, there's always ways that big tobacco and nicotine companies are going to get around like advertising laws. Like they're like, it happens in adults too. Like I've been around like a group of adults that were all like passing their vapes around and they were like, oh, what flavor is this? Like mango, guava, ice. I don't know the flavors, but like they're all passing them around cause they were all colorful. And it was like, it's happening in adults. So like, of course it's going to happen with children. They like use these bright colors to like reel people in and like catch them from a different angle, and then the peers are like, oh my god, this tastes so good, you have to try it, like you need to try it, like I can literally can't live without this, like you need this in your life, and then it just starts that cycle.
Yeah. Lena, do you have something to add?
Yeah, you know, so if you're around people that do it, obviously it can be a social thing, and or something to just try to fit in with like your group of people. And these big business, like big tobacco companies, like at a young age, when like a kid walks into the store with their parents, these tobacco companies put the products at the kids' eye levels for like to plant it in their brain. And they use the bright colors to like attract the kids. And they're like, oh, what's that? So like everything that these businesses do is for a reason. And when you take a hit and when you try it and the nicotine gets to your brain, it only takes 10 seconds. You're stuck with it, and they continue to make money off of you. And they want you from a younger age because they know you'll continue using it until you're older.
That seems, you know, Charlie and I are old enough to probably remember the Big League Chew. It was a gum that you would pack into your lip, so you look like one of those big league guys, you know, chewing tobacco. I remember the gum cigarettes that would puff out. I think it was like flour or something, so you could mimic. I mean, it's like just brilliant marketing. It was terrible, but you know, so I can imagine that there's similar things with the e-cigarettes out there too.
There are. I saw this on TikTok. People are calling them like healthy vapes, or they're basically they're calling them like essential oil, like diffusers or whatever. And it's to help people like get off vaping because it doesn't have nicotine in it, and it's essentially like all natural, all essential oils. And so people are like, oh, these are better, like they're non-addictive. And so in a way, they are helping nicotine users wean off them, but they still have that aerosol, and they still have everything going inside of your lungs and all of the metals and everything. It's just not addictive. And so they're marketing it as you can either use this to stop quitting, or you can like get these to just like say, oh, I have this, I can do this in a social setting, but it's not actually nicotine. But all these online comments and like everything is like, oh my God, this is so safe. This is so like, I haven't seen anyone online being like, actually, like, these are just the same thing. They just don't have the nicotine, and they're not all natural. They still have the coil, and they still have all the metals, and they still have everything. They just don't have the instant hit and the high.
So that raises a question about, I know vaping has been billed by some as you can use it to quit smoking tobacco. Charlie, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a ploy, and I think it's a good trick to get people to be either dual users or to switch over to vaping. Like I was saying, when you're addicted to nicotine, it takes, like Lena said, 10 seconds to rehardwire your brain. Some folks are more addicted than other folks are addicted. And it has a bit to do with genealogy and some other factors. But the thing is, once that gets into your brain and it reinforces the prefrontal cortex, the reasoning part of your brain, to say this was good, just like eating or sleeping or other basic needs, you're hooked. And so I would say somebody smoking, to try to quit smoking flat out and try to do a substitute habit rather than trying to implement vaping as an alternative. You're just swapping out the nicotine, and chances are you're going to, because of the variability in the syrups you can buy on the market, you're going to probably start jacking that stuff and be up there, you know, beyond what you ever had with cigarettes.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk specifically about Alaska a little bit. I know the numbers are high nationally. I don't know the specific numbers of Alaska youths, and if you do, let me know. But what's the biggest issue in Alaska right now in terms of nicotine usage or tobacco usage? Like, is it cigarettes? Is it vaping? Is it chewing tobacco? What's Charlie, we'll start with you.
I would say vaping is the overarching prevalence. You know, if you looked in any village that I talked to, and I talked to a lot of folks out there, vaping is definitely out there. But then there's a lot of areas, demographic areas, in which you have different things. Up in the Northwest, like Koyuk, for instance, cigarettes are still prevalent. And you come down into Kotzebue area, and chewing is pretty big. And then you go out toward Chivac and Hooper Bay out there on the Delta, and there's chewing with ikmik, which is a potash that raises the alkalinity in the tobacco. And raising the alkalinity makes it, one, more effective as far as getting the usable nicotine. Almost 99% of the nicotine comes out of that. And so you have these little pockets around Alaska that there's these different prevalences. But overarching, we have the vape thing on top of that, and it's growing, you know. So we as the Teen Ambassador Program and with the health wellness coordinating that I do, we combat it all. You know, there's different requests we get from school districts in different areas. Hey, can you do this? They're when, for instance, after COVID and the schools reconvened, the students were required to wear masks in some villages up in Northwest Alaska. Well, the administrators started noticing they're all spitting out Zin pouches, you know, so nobody knows what's in their mouth because they got the masks. So we were asked to produce a video and do some Q&A and reach out to the schools to give them information on addiction and how tobacco works basically on the intake. When you go in the digestive system, it's slightly different, but it does get to the brain the same way in the end. And so we had to come up with some curriculum and some presentations for that.
That's great. What are you guys seeing in your high schools in terms of usage? What types of tobacco, nicotine are being used mostly? Lena, how about you?
Definitely vaping is the biggest one, I would say. It's easy to...
It's accessible.
It's really, yeah, it's accessible, and it's easy to just pull out of your pocket, take a hit, and then put it back in. Kids are even starting to, like, do it in classrooms now.
Yeah.
But I'd say mainly in, like, bathrooms.
Yeah. I think definitely in terms of tobacco and nicotine, it's definitely vaping. Yeah, we've had so many just, like, fire drills because people were, like, vaping in, like, the bathrooms. But actually, when we had our summit, the majority of the kids said ICMIC. And, all the kids, they were like, we mostly see ICMIC and CHU in our...
in their communities, because we had a lot of...
We had a lot of vaping stuff, but they were like, no, it's ICMIC. That's what we see the most. And we said, oh, well, like, we wouldn't have known that.
For our summit, we brought in a lot of, we flew in a lot of people from rural communities, and yeah, they all said ICMIC.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we have to take another quick break here. You're listening to Line One, Your Health Connection. If you have a question or a comment for our guest today, call us statewide, 888-353-5752, 888-353-5752. Or in Anchorage, 907-550-8433, 907-550-8433. We'll be right back after this short break with more discussion on preventing nicotine and tobacco use.
You're listening to Line One from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line One on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you would like to play an integral part in what you're listening to, public media is designed for and made possible by the communities it serves. If you are already a member or corporate sponsor, thank you. If you'd like to learn more about how to become a member or sponsor, it's easy. Start with a call to your public radio station. Planned gifts as a bequest to your local station builds a legacy that is long-lasting. Thanks for considering this option.
Welcome back to Line One, Your Health Connection. I'm your host, Dr. Justin Clark. I'm here with Roe Armstrong and Lena Adays, two teen ambassadors, with Youth Encouraging Alaskans Health, a coalition of young people across the state working to educate on the impacts of tobacco and nicotine. I'm also joined by Charlie S. Charlie is a wellness coordinator with Rural CAP and works to find and train teen ambassadors to talk with their peers. If you have a question or a comment for our guests, call us statewide at 1-888-353-5752. 1-888-353-5752. Or in Anchorage at 907-550-8433, 907-550-8433, or email us at line1@alaskapublic.org. Well, we have about 15 minutes left here, guys. I want to cover a few different topics that we haven't talked about yet. The first is the cost involved with nicotine use. And if you guys are able to use that to talk to your peers about it, I know I've seen the cost of cigarettes go up dramatically in my lifetime. I think a pack of cigarettes might be $10 today or something like that. I haven't followed it closely, but it seems like a very, very expensive habit. So, Lena, we can start with you. I think you did some research on the cost involved, and so what are the costs involved with this, and then how do you use that to approach people to help them quit?
Yeah, so for vaping, it's hard to calculate like as an exact value, obviously, because you don't know how much each person, or you can't like, you know,
how much each like seller is selling it for.
Yeah, and how many, how addicted a person is, but it's about $3,000 a year, and it can get up to like $5,000-$6,000. But we do incorporate this into our presentations, like at schools and stuff. I normally put it like near the middle to the end, and it's fun to just watch like the audience's jaws like drop when they see that number. And we also like to add stuff like, what would you buy with this amount? Or like questions or like quizzes, like how much do you think it'll cost you if you to vape a year or like 6 months? And it's like, what would you buy with $1,000? What would you buy with $3,000? Yeah.
No, that's amazing. My first car I saved up for years, and I think it was, you know, I bought it for $3,000, and I would way more like having a car than just smoking away the money. So that's a great strategy, I think, to use. Roe, what's your ideas on cost and using it to approach people?
Well, another thing we do in our presentations is we like put like a picture of a snow machine or like a dirt bike or something, and we'll say like, how many years of vaping do you think this costs? And then they'll be like, 1, 2, 2.5. Like, and depending on the picture, it's like, it could be 3, it could be 1.5, it could be 2. And then they're always just like, what? Or like, I don't know. Like, it's crazy to me. Just because like they see the numbers and they hear the numbers, they're like, okay, it's just a number. But then if you like assign value to that, like assign an object to that value and then give it like a, this is how like how long you'd vape, and then if you didn't vape for that long and you saved that money that you would have used on vapes, because a lot of the times people would be like, okay, so then I can just, why don't I have a dirt bike now? But you have to take the money that you would have spent on the vape and then like put it in like a savings account or something. I don't know.
Sure.
But the money thing, it's always definitely, like Lena said, hard to calculate because the amounts plugs are selling it for and everything, but it's a huge like price point. Like people steal money. Like whenever I'm like, some of my friends like who don't have jobs, or like people that I see that aren't that vape, but they like don't have jobs and they like aren't working, and I'm like, how are you getting this money to fund like your addiction, or like how are you getting your money to fund this? And they'll be like, I mean, I do chores, or like I just like steal it, or I borrow from my friends, or I use my friends, and then like I guess I don't know how they pay them back, or like they're just like using their friend stuff all the time and just like munching off of people.
Yeah. Charlie, for costs, like in the store, what's the cost? I guess these are the true costs, and then there's, you know, what's on the black market. But
there's one brand out there that if you buy the device, that's maybe, you know, $30 or $40, and then you can buy a packet of four. So you're in about $75 to initiate, to start, you know. But then there's a lot of replacement packets, 4 packs for $20, something like that. We were asked to do a presentation on all of this for the schools up in Northwest Alaska, and it came out to be, sometimes $5,000 a year, you know, depending on the habit. And like the girl said, there's so much variability in usage and dosage, and then price where they're, you know, the supplier is selling it for. So it's really hard to put a number on it. But it comes down to being like, you know, a big thing out in Northwestern Alaska or Western Alaska is to have a good paddle track snow machine, you know, and a good high-end machine is about $15,000. And so we always say, well, 3 years of vaping is very innocuous. You think, oh, I just got this little habit. But after 3 years, there you go. You could have had a, you know, a Summit 800 or something like that. These are mainly desirable things that somebody would own, not like mortgage and a house or something, because with youth, that just doesn't count, right?
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about social media, TikTok, and I know the youth don't really use Facebook anymore, but what are you guys seeing? Like, how has, well, I guess I'll start with you, Charlie. How, from, you know, an adult's perspective, has social media changed over the years? Because you've been doing this prior to social media and now after, and we can talk to you guys a little bit about what you're seeing on TikTok and stuff. But what's your perspective on social media?
Social media has been really a phenomenon in a lot of things, in marketing mainly. People can be anybody on, you know, you look at the rants that some people have and they'll wage war with other people because they don't have to do it in person. So it's a virtual presence that allows people to access things that probably in real life you wouldn't. So the advertisers are onto this and they like will put things out like the girl said, you can buy the actual stuff. But right now, I did a thing and actually Pew did some research and they had this thing and surprisingly YouTube was leading the youth's, you know, viewership and stuff last year, and it just came out about August of last year. And so kids are they're watching this stuff and it sets norms. With the social media, you know, let's say you lived in an urban neighborhood, you could look across the street and see your neighbors and what they were doing, whether they're washing their car, they're doing whatever they're doing. Social media allows you to see the whole world at once. And with all that kind of an influx of thoughts and patterns, and there's norms that form up very quickly. It's very accelerated. And so what we saw with vaping and some of these other things is that things trend, and a trend takes about just a matter of hours. Like if you look at Instagram, look at the music, look at the algorithms and what's playing. It's just amazing. What's good now is dead in 2 weeks. And so social media just accelerates all of this stuff. And I think it's not only with, you know, the vaping product, but just about anything out there. So as society, our norms are just being formed and reformed and challenged, you know, in a matter of hours or weeks. And where it used to take a generation or, you know, years at least. So to do something like that, if you're an advertiser or you're pushing something, you have so much avenue because all you have to do is come up with fresh content for tomorrow and you're in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Roe, what's your perspective on social media regarding tobacco and nicotine use?
I think it's very like normalized. Well, there's two sides of it. There's the one side that's very like normalized and everyone like knows about it. You'll see just like TikToks of people showing off their cool vaping tricks and TikToks about a totally like random subject, but then they're just like casually hitting their vape or like someone's hitting the vape in the background and just whatever. And then you'll see like also these vapes of or these TikToks of people being like, hey, this is me day one of quitting my vape. Like, it's hard, and then filming their journey through it, and then also people like dunking their vapes into water, and like it's very like a very wide, vast like types of videos, and it just like depends what algorithm like you get on and what videos you see. But so I think it can be a good thing and a bad thing. So social media, bad because it can get you addicted, but it can also help you, it can also help you quit because it can show you're not alone. I think, and it can, show other people that are going through the exact same situation as you.
Interesting perspective. And yeah, Lena, what's your thoughts on your experience with social media? Yeah.
Building off of what Roe said, it's not all bad, but when you see somebody you look up to, say hitting a vape, it's really influencing, I'd say. But at the same time, if you see somebody you look up to dunking their vape in water, it also has an impact on you. The same way, like if I see somebody I look up to wearing a specific shirt that looks good on them, I want to go buy that shirt.
Yeah, like a positive review on a shirt on Amazon will sell it out.
Yeah,
or like a thing. But then negative review from someone popular will like tank that whole company.
Yeah,
and it's very much a it's very give and take. That like.
So did you guys ever do social media content from a marketing perspective or helping people quit? Is that something that you guys have looked into?
We've made a couple videos. We're not like quitting like influencers or whatever, but we have made videos, just information videos. We've made small ones that we like posted for the summit and stuff. But
Rory actually has a really good, we wrote a script and we produced it. Lena did one on cost and also just some of the overarching things of vaping. Rory did one specific to addiction, and we wrote the script, and then we had it critiqued by Victor DeNoble, the doctor who was the whistleblower in the back in the day. And he's still very active with youth. He goes around schools and on Zoom and stuff, speaks to schools about that. Ran the script by him, and he said, yeah, this looks pretty good. He even punched it up a little. And then we produced it with Roy, and I use it in schools a lot. When we can't be somewhere, there's a lot of demand for us. We can, the best we can offer is we can pipe this video over to you. It's 6 minutes. Then we get on Zoom and have a Q&A with students and stuff like that.
That's great.
So that's when we...
Well, we're running really short on time. We just got about 2 minutes left. I want to give you guys a quick opportunity to any closing thoughts that you might have for our listeners about smoking. Charlie, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so the way we work with rural capper contractors, we work with the state, and the state, of course, looks at a lot of the guidelines from CDC, and youth approach peer-to-peer education is one of the, it's in the guidelines. It's one of the best practices. So we've modeled that, but with students like Lena and Roy, I think it's beyond peers. These folks have got a rapport with other students. They've got health, their models of health, just the way they walk it, you know. They're great on stage, and so we have kind of an act. We go around, we talk to students, and they respect these women. And so we try to get the information out there. We can't change people's lives any more than people can try to change my life. We give the information to them. We always say, hey, we're going to trust you to listen to us for 1 hour, then we're going to trust you for the rest of your life to make decisions that suit you best.
Yeah, that's great. Roe, any closing thoughts?
I just want everybody to know that it's always, like, okay to, like, realize, like, after you're already in a situation or after you've already started vaping that you can quit, and there's always people that aren't going to judge you. Like, there are people that are going to judge you, but there are also people that won't judge you, and it's always okay to ask for help.
Excellent. Lena?
Thank you for having us, and if anybody listening wants to join or has a kid that might want to join, then please look into us and you can
be an ambassador.
Yeah, be an ambassador. Yeah.
Well, Charlie, how would someone do that?
Yeah, go to ruralcap.com or ruralcap.org, and you can just menu your way down and you'll see the health and wellness branch, and then you menu down and you'll see the ambassadors. We're going to have the applications out here in a couple of weeks. We're trying to get ambassadors for the coming school year. There'll be an application form and all the information you need to become a teen ambassador.
It's fantastic.
Really fun. Great. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to send a thank you to our guests, Roe Armstrong, Lena Adays, and Charlie S. Thanks to our audio engineer, Chris Hyde. Thanks to our producer, Madeline Rose. You can find more information on this and previous programs on our website at alaskapublic.org. Let us know your thoughts or suggestions by emailing us at line1@alaskapublic.org. This has been Line One, your health connection. I'm your host, Dr. Justin Clark. Stay healthy, Alaska.
Is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Learn more about Line One and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.